be caught alive.
To see a
chance. Early in the morning, yeah, yeah.
Caught up.
When the Lord cracked the sky, hallelujah.
To see a chance.
Can't no grave hold my body down, yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yes, sir, yes, sir.
Call up.
Come on.
Call up.
Come on.
Call up.
Come on.
To see Jesus, I will be called up.
Everybody, sing it with us. Come on.
Call up.
Will you be there that day, yeah?
Yes, sir.
Call up.
Every day will be Sunday.
With us. Say, if you know that when you see him, he'll say, well done.
Hallelujah.
Every tear, he'll wipe every tear.
Will you meet me there?
Hallelujah.
Will you?
In my
I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT Gina Alexandria 88.1 K255BT Monroe West Monroe 98.9 K223BI Greenwood Shreveport 92.5 KQJO St. Joseph Natchez 99.3 He's a wonder, and the gospel continues to grow, praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations. 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive. Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
I want to take this time to usher us into the next period of worship where God speaks to his people, and when we open our spiritual ears to hear from him, God gives to us what is known as a rhema word. It's a personal word that God speaks in our spirit that ministers to our situation. And it's important for you to understand that God has not changed the way that he has spoken to his people from his prophet, his pastor, his preacher, his minister from the beginning of time till now as relates to the word. And so I want you, again, as we prepare to enter into the word, to remove everything from your mind, from your thoughts that will hinder you from hearing what God has to say to you. It is so important that you get this word tonight because I believe it'll set the tenor and the tone for your triumph in 2003. If you will hear what thus says the Lord. I know our country is facing and embracing and even bracing itself for war, but God spoke to my spirit and said that we are fighting and dealing with spiritual battles every day. Now, what we don't realize, many of us, is that the battle isn't ours, but the Lord's. And we wear ourselves out. We nearly lose every part of our being fighting a battle that's not meant for us to fight. God wants us to put our focus on Him and what He has said. And I'm here to tell you that if you've had to struggle and fight through and barely made it through 2002, things can change in 2003 if you know how to handle the things that come your way. And so I want you to get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. And turn them to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6. 2 Kings, chapter 6. It is no unfamiliar word to the body, but it is a word that I believe God is going to refresh us in if we would hear Him. I want us to begin at verse 8. 2 Kings chapter 6, beginning at verse 8. And the word says, "Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there, not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed or compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servants said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord openeth the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while tonight, I want to talk about a vision of victory. A vision of victory. Now, may I suggest to you, my brothers and sisters, that if you don't get anything else I say from the message, the theme of the message focuses us in on the thrust of what I want to share with you tonight. And that is that if you are going to believe what God has said, If you're going to stand in the power of God's might and majesty as one of God's children or as his child and believe him for what he said he can and will do, you are going to have to get a vision of victory in your own spirit before God will bring that thing to pass. A whole lot of us are just barely making it, just getting by, humdrum filled with their lives and expectations, their goals and their dreams, because we have not yet received or latched on to or grasped a vision of victory for our lives. Every situation you go to, you go through, or you deal with, God has already stamped success and victory on it for you. It doesn't mean that you're not going to go through some things, and it doesn't mean you're not going to be troubled and tried by the circumstances that God has allowed to come your way. But what you must understand is that while God has allowed all of these things to happen in your life, it is again, as I've said so many times, to further develop you and to define you and to make you what God really wants you to become. One of the things that is so important that the believer holds on to in his or her walk in life is that you know, number one, who you are because you know whose you are. Now, I want you to see Elisha, because it is in Elisha's covenant relationship with God that he is able to stand firmly on the truth of knowing that he's God's child. He's a prophet of God. He's one who's been given the ability to stand and to declare what thus saith the Lord. And God uses him and deals with him in such a profound way that it blows the mind of his enemies. And his enemies can't figure out why God is dealing with him the way he's dealing with him and revealing to him what he's revealing to him about them. One of the things you're going to understand is the closer you get to God, the more God begins to reveal things about you, reveal things around you, reveal things concerning you, and reveal things connected to you so that the enemy can't trap you up. Listen, if the believer would be sensitive enough to hear God and heed God, he or she will be able to walk in victory, not only in one circumstance or situation in his or her life, but in every one of them. Let's go back to the text, look at it very clearly, because as we get a vision of victory here, this young man did not understand how spiritual things work. And it's amazing how many folk are in the church, and yet they don't understand how spiritual things work. They're trying to figure everything out. A song was sung some years ago. We still sing it often today. While you're trying to figure it out, he, God, has already worked it out. Now, may I suggest to you, may I say to you that whatever you're going through and whatever you're trying to figure out right now, no matter what area of your life it may be in, God has already worked this thing out. When I tell you God has got this thing fixed, all you got to do is read the word. And from the beginning of time, he knew everything that was going to happen before it ever happened. And he dispensationally put everything in place so that at its proper time, it would unfold. And you would see how God doesn't have to get in a rush about anything because he's got this whole thing under control. Look again at the text. Verse 8 says, "Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp." And he was making plans. He was strategically planning where he was going to make his attack. And he was telling those who were at the table of strategy with him and negotiations with him how he was going to work this thing out. And it was amazing that every time he pinpointed a place that would be perfect for an attack, somehow the plan got spoiled.
And it happened so frequently that he began to realize, wait a minute, that's something unnatural about how this plan is failing. Yeah. Even as a worldly man, he began to figure out there's something wrong with this situation. What he did not know nor figure into the equation was that it really wasn't man doing this, it was God doing this. But because all he had was a natural mindset, he began to think that there was a spy in the camp. And isn't it amazing, my brothers and sisters, how God can reveal certain things that you may or may not have said to anyone else, but when he wants it revealed, he can do it the way he wants to do it, so that the enemy never gets what he is really after when you put your trust in the Lord. Let me help you see it in the text and see this. He is upset because every attempt to overthrow the king of Samaria, of the Israelites, rather, was overthrown by someone in his mind telling the king where they were going to be, thus not being able to accomplish his ambushment against them. And so he came back again empty-handed. Look at what the text says. The Bible says, verse 9, and the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place. And that such a place, the first time, was the first time when the king of Syria had set his ambushment up. And then notice the word says such a place and such a place. Well, we say in such a place and such. Well, the point is, every place such that was set, God divinely emailed, faxed, however you want to put it, Elisha, and said, tell the king of Israel that the king of Syria has made his plans to ambush them at this location. And so what Elisha would do is he'd have his servant go tell the king, I've just got a news flash from God. Don't go the way you were planning to go, because if you go the way you're planning to go, there's a trap set up for you there. But don't fear, because I'm telling you where it is, so you don't go where they want you to go. Now that would have been all right if it happened one time, but every time the enemy tried to trap him, God gave word to the man of God, who gave word to the king, who changed his plans and went in another direction. Now listen at this now, because I'm building up to where I want you to see here. The Bible says, verse 10, and the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there, not once nor twice, but the word and the record is repeatedly. His life would have been taken repeatedly had the man of God not received a word from God and then warned the king, and the king changed his plans. Listen at this. Verse 11 says, therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. Now, he's like, something wrong, something stank. I got somebody in my camp who's a spy for the other side. Now, listen to what he's saying now. So he goes on and he says, he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? See, I know one of you, excuse me, one of us. He tried to tone it down and tried to hide his anger, but he was hot. One of us is on his side. Now, what he was trying to do was to get somebody to either confess or somebody to rap. Now listen at this, because the Bible says, verse 12, and one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king. But Elisha, listen, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. Now this blew his mind. Not the man of God telling him what he had going on in the boardroom. But in his bedchamber. Now listen, don't you know business in the bedroom and business in the boardroom are different businesses? One is more intimate than the other, more intricate than the other. In other words, and the message is here, your most secret of secrets. The thing you think is such a secret, God has told the man of God, and the man of God has told the king. And the reason you can't trap him is somebody upstairs is watching downstairs what's going on. Somebody ought to hear me here. Not all of that may not make a whole lot of sense to you, but what you've got to understand is if you're on the right side, you've got somebody watching your back. See, what you don't understand is, and you need to put it all into perspective and understand, that the enemy can never do any more to you than God will allow him or her to do. And when you understand that God is covering you because you belong to God, do you not know today you wouldn't be sitting here if the enemy had his way? Okay, so if that's the case, then why are we still walking around with defeated lives and not understanding what God's purpose and power is for our lives? It's all because we still have not received a vision of victory for our situations. Now listen at this, because I want you to see this. The word says, verse 13, and he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots, listen now, horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. They compassed the city about. Why did they do it by night, first of all? Because most sneaky, underhanded, coverted operations are done in the dark. Most folk don't sneak in the daytime. Y'all acting holier than thou now. When you go looking and when you go peeping, trying to see something, you don't ride in midday. What bothers me is, why would you get out of your comfortable bed? Why would you lose sleep? Why would you... See, what I'm trying to help somebody understand is, if it ain't of God, it ain't gonna work. Don't care how you plot and plan, if it ain't of God, it's not gonna work. Now listen at this, because I want you to see this. Now see, enemies need to know this, because if they understand how God operates, they can change their mind and change sides and get on the right side and be blessed rather than to be cursed messing with children of God. Now listen at this, because again, the enemy, even in different countries, messing with God's children, you can't mess with God's children without messing with God. Whether it's a little fight or big fight, it don't matter. To God, it's all a fight, and he's the one who's doing the fighting. And all are the same to him because he is in control. Now listen at this. They come by night. They surround the city. They're going to do an ambushment, but they don't know where he is. They know he's in the city, but where in the city, they don't know. But listen at this now. His servant comes out early in the morning. For whatever his reasons may be for doing that, he comes out and he notices that the city is surrounded with a great army. Now he gets scared because, again, the servants have traveled with Elijah or Elisha, they have seen God work in great and mighty ways in how they would move and minister. And so he knew something was up with this situation. It was nothing good when he came out there, for the sun came up and there are men sitting on horses all around the city ready for war. And yet he, again, the word says, becomes fearful. Look at what the next verse says. Verse 15, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compasseth the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? First point as I want to make is that you've got to be able, concerning your vision of victory, you've got to be able to see your victory. Yeah. before you can share your victory. You have got to be able to see your victory before you can share. See, when you see what God's going to do, and when you have gotten a pointed view of what God has revealed to you, and this is what you've got to always understand. When God reveals something to you about you or for you, he's not going to reveal it to the person on the side of you. So when folk don't always understand what God's doing to you, through you, with you, or for you, you've got to be able to understand God's doing it so you can see what he's either doing or getting ready to do in your life. And that's why when the person who gets the view, the vision of what God's getting ready to do in his life can't hold their peace, shout all over the place, and you sitting there looking like you don't know what's going on, it's because they have tapped in, gotten a word from the Lord, has confirmed the fact that what they are looking for is on the way. And when you know it's on the way, it's hard to keep your seat and act like you don't know what's about to break through. And when your blessing is right on the brink of a breakthrough, you just can't hold your peace. See, too many of us live and we don't live in expectation. That's why when we get up, it ain't no good morning. I can't wait to get up because I know every day I expect a miracle. Something good is going to happen. Now listen at this. Listen at this. Listen. So Elisha has a vision of victory, and he sees it in the spirit realm. Now, the reason I know he sees it in the spirit realm is because he's about to share it with his servant who cannot see it in the spirit realm. That says something else again, that everybody that's walking on the side of you ain't necessarily walking with you. Ever been walking with somebody and you pointed out something, say, you see that? What is that you see? You see that right over there? What? Now, if you don't see it clear enough, you can't explain what you see. You just know you see something. And how many of you seen something and it ain't what you thought you saw? Y'all ain't hearing me here tonight. So you've got to make sure that you see what you see, and what you see is clear enough for you to share. Because if others can't see what you see, then you need to be able to make it clear enough so that you can give details about what you see. And if they still can't see what you see, at least they know you know what you see because you're able to tell them about it. See, that's why you take a vision and you write it down. That's why you take a vision and you make it plain. Because everybody can't see what you see, don't hear what you hear, don't know what you know. But when you can make it plain, even if they can't see what you see, they at least know you saw it. Bless his holy name. But second thing I want you to know concerning your vision of victory, because I'm talking about you, even though I'm using Elisha here, because again, you've got to get this in your own spirit, because 2003 are going to bring some challenges to your life that the enemy will surely overtake you if you don't mature to a place in the spirit realm where you reach up and beyond the place of the flesh and the natural and receive what God has for you. You've got to know how to operate in spiritual things, because you're no match for the devil in the flesh. We are not wrestling with flesh and blood. My battle ain't with no other man or no other woman on this earth. My real battle is with Satan himself, who uses other people on this earth. And when I know how he operates, I can circumvent the stuff that he's trying to do, because I can take it to another level. Now listen at this, because I want you to see this again. The Bible says again, verse 15, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host. Now this is a great group of folk. They had encircled the city both with horses and chariots, and his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? Now that's a